Ramsey TV.
In 1044 BC, King David had a God and a Lord. And David's Lord in 1044 BC was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is Martin Zender. You are at MZTV. I am glad you are here. I'm going to look into a passage of scripture today that God has given me new light on. I never understood this passage. I'm not afraid to say that. Matthew 22:44. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Always confused me. The Lord said to my Lord. I never thought much about it until this sect arose saying that Jesus Christ did not exist before his birth in Bethlehem. And because some people are being influenced by this teaching, which seems incredible to me, caused me to look into passages of scripture I've never looked into before. And as I told you yesterday and shared with you, I have new insights into the faith of Christ that I never had before. And this is because of this sect. And it has caused me and others to look even more deeply into the Word of God. And by doing that, not only confirms for us the glory Christ had with his Father before the world was, but brings out new light, new facets of glory. As we turn this diamond of Christ's preexistence in the light, we see new facets, new sparkles of the glory he had with the Father before he emptied himself to come to be in fashion as a human being. But to start today, I'm going to go to John chapter 6. Jesus says in verse 37, all that which the Father is giving to me shall be arriving to me. And he who is coming to me, I should under no circumstances be casting out. For I have descended from heaven, not that I should be doing my will, but the will of him who sends me. The Jews then, oh, there's a real shocker here. Guess what? The Jews murmured concerning him that he said, I am the bread which descends out of heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, with whose father and mother we are acquainted? How then is he saying that out of heaven have I descended? Oh my God, this is exactly what the Tories are saying. This is what they're saying to we who believe that Jesus Christ descended from heaven. They're saying, how are you people saying that out of heaven Christ has descended? Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? And that's all that they believe he is. Peter May told me that Jesus Christ was 100% human. This is a quote, 100% human and 0% divine. Peter May, one of the chief spokespeople of the Tories. The Jews then murmured concerning him. Verse 41, John chapter 6. They murmured at this word, just as the Tories are murmuring at this word. They're murmuring that he said, I am the bread which descended out of heaven. They're murmuring at us who say that he descended out of heaven. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we are acquainted? According to Peter May, he's 0% divine. He's only the son of Joseph and Mary. Incredible. Then he answered and said to them, do not murmur with one another. I think he's saying that to us today. Do not murmur. Now I want to go to John 6, starting with verse 61. Now Jesus, being aware in himself that his disciples are murmuring concerning this, said to them, this is snaring you? If then you should be holding the Son of Mankind ascending where he was formerly, I'm quoting the Word of God, This is snaring you? This teaching of mine that I descended from heaven? This is snaring you? If then you should be holding the Son of Mankind ascending where he was formerly, this is up and down. Ascending versus descending, descending versus ascending. This has to do with altitude. It doesn't have anything to do with being a zygote in the uterus of Mary. He became that, but he was not that formerly. He was formerly in the form of God at the right hand of God. Jesus goes on and says, the spirit is that which is vivifying. The flesh is not benefiting anything. If Jesus Christ was only flesh, as Peter may insist that he was, 100% human flesh, then how was that benefiting anything? If he was only that. We need rescued from sin and death by someone who was not like us, who was not 100% human. And he was appointed by God to do something that we could not do because he was divine. The Son of Mankind ascending where he was formerly. He was somewhere. He, Jesus Christ, was somewhere before he became a baby in his mommy's belly. Where was he? Well, he said he descended out of heaven. Then that's where he was. He wasn't a concept. He wasn't a figure of speech. He wasn't a metaphor. He was Jesus Christ. Now I want to go to John 8, verse 31. Jesus then said to the Jews who have believed him, if ever you should be remaining in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will be making you free. They answered him, the seed of Abraham are we. Okay, here we go. Here comes the Abraham issue. They consider themselves descendants of Abraham, and not only descendants of Abraham, but descendants of David. So their two heroes, the Pharisees, the Jews, are Abraham and David. And Jesus is going to say something remarkable concerning Abraham. And in Matthew 22:44, he's going to say something remarkable concerning David that is going to strain their faith to the point that they not only refuse to be with him anymore, those who were following him, but the Pharisees are going to become so incensed that when he says these things, they decide that day that they must kill him. So radical were the things he was saying. Well, I was Joseph and Mary's son. That's not very radical. But he claimed to be more than Joseph and Mary's son. He claimed not only to be the Son of God, but he claimed to exist before Abraham. I'm getting ahead of myself. And he claimed to be the Lord that David was honoring in 1044 BC when he wrote Psalm 110, verse 1. They answered him, the seed of Abraham are we. We have never been slaves of anyone. How are you saying that you shall be becoming free? Verse 37, I am aware that you are Abraham's seed, but you are seeking to kill me, for my word has no room in you. What I have seen with my father, I am speaking. What I have seen with my father, I am speaking. Yet also, then, what you hear from your father, are you doing? They answered and said to him, our father is Abraham. Jesus answered them, if you are children of Abraham, did you ever do the works of Abraham? Yet now you're seeking to kill me, who has spoken to you truth, truth which I hear from God. This Abraham does not do. That is, seek to kill him. Yet you are doing the works of your father. Ooh-ooh. They say to him, we are not born of prostitution. Our father, one father, have we? God. Then Jesus said, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For out of God I came forth. Here we go again. Out of God I came forth and am arriving. For neither have I come of myself, but he commissions me. Wherefore do you not know my speech, seeing that you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the adversary. And the desires of your father you are wanting to do. He was a man killer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, for truth is not in him. Whenever he may be speaking a lie, he is speaking of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Yet I, seeing that I am speaking the truth, you are not believing me.
3 minutes to disturbing revelation.
Who of you is exposing me concerning sin? If I'm telling the truth, wherefore are you not believing me? He who is of God is hearing God's declarations. Therefore, you are not hearing, seeing that you are not of God. Oh, brutal logic. He's strafing them with truth. The Jews answered and say to him, are we not saying ideally that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered and said, I have no demon, but I am honoring my Father, and you are dishonoring me. Now, I am not seeking my glory. He is the one who is seeking it and judging. Verily, verily, I'm saying to you, if anyone should be keeping my word, he should under no circumstances be beholding death for the eon. The Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died.
2 minutes to disturbing revelation.
And the prophets. And you are saying, if ever anyone should be keeping my word, he should under no circumstances be tasting death for the eon. Not you are greater than our father Abraham. Here it comes. Not you are greater than our father Abraham, who died. And the prophets died. Whom are you making yourself out to be? Quoting scripture. John 8:53. Jesus said, if I should ever be glorifying myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who is glorifying me, of whom you are saying that he is your God, and you know him not, yet I am acquainted with him. And if I should be saying that I am not acquainted with him, I shall be like you, a liar.
1 minute to disturbing revelation.
But I am acquainted with him, and I am keeping his word. Abraham, your father, exults that he may become acquainted with my day. And he was acquainted with it and rejoiced. Big secret here that Abraham was in some way. I'm going to look more at this tomorrow. Abraham was acquainted with Jesus Christ. And yet he longed to see the day when the word became flesh and walked among humans. And this was that day. And that word become flesh was standing in the midst of the religious hierarchy, the mainstream religion of that day. The Jews then said to him, you have not as yet lived 50 years, and you have seen Abraham?
Disturbing revelation directly ahead. Viewer discretion is advised.
The terrible thing is that the Tories are saying the same thing. They don't believe that he lived more than 50 years. And they don't believe that he had seen Abraham. They don't believe it. They're mocking that truth. That Jesus Christ was the ancient one, the image of the invisible God who came out of God, through whom everything that came into being came into being. The Tories mock that truth. What do you mean Abraham was acquainted with you in any way? You're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? They're saying that to us. You say Jesus saw Abraham? Oh, it's more than that. Jesus said to them, verily, verily. Whenever Jesus says verily, verily, you're getting a double-barreled truth. Verily, verily, I'm saying to you, ere Abraham came into being, I am. Not only did I see Abraham, but before Abraham even came into being, I existed. I am. They knew exactly what he was saying. The Tories don't understand it. They don't understand a word of it. The Pharisees, I'll give them credit for this. They understood exactly what he was saying. There was no mistaking him. Any normal person hearing this could not be mistaking what he is saying. They pick up stones then that they should be casting them at him. So outrageous, so shocking was what he just said before Abraham was, I am, that they sought to kill him on the spot. This would have been a crime of passion if they had killed him then. I think the courts would have been lenient, saying, ah, this was a crime of passion. This wasn't first-degree murder. They couldn't help themselves because of what he said. Because they actually believed he meant what he said. The Tories don't. We're sons of Abraham. And they also boasted about being sons of David. As they boasted about being sons of Abraham, I bet they're sorry they brought up the topic. Jesus said to them, you want to talk about son of Abraham? Abraham was acquainted with my day. Abraham was acquainted with me. He longed to see my day. Oh, you're not even 50 years old. How did you see Abraham? How did Abraham see you? Well, because before Abraham was even existed, I existed. Oh, they knew exactly what he said. That's why they picked up stones to kill him. The Tories wouldn't pick up stones to kill him because they would just say, it's ridiculous. Tories don't even believe what he said. They don't even believe it. Got to give the Pharisees credit for believing it. Can't believe I'm giving the Pharisees more credit than the Tories here, but I am.
Disturbing revelation recap. Concerning the Lord's relationship to Abraham, both the Pharisees and the Tories make the same mistake. They both limit Christ's life to his years on earth subsequent to Bethlehem. Thus, the Pharisees and the Tories reject Christ's testimony for the same reason. You are not even 50 years old. The difference, however, is that the Pharisees have the intelligence to take Christ at his word. The Tories, lacking this, do not take him at his word. Even as the Pharisees picked up stones to kill him, the Lord did not correct their interpretation of his words. This is because they interpreted his words correctly, just as those in Nazareth interpreted his words correctly and sought to kill him when he said, after reading Isaiah, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And just as those at his trial sought to kill him after he admitted to being the Son of God. In neither case does our Lord correct his accusers. This is because his accusers understand him perfectly. The Tories, on the other hand, not only do not understand Christ perfectly, they do not understand him at all. They deny his testimony concerning his relationship to Abraham, in all practicality making him out to be a liar. Please understand the import of this. The Pharisees, standing in front of Christ and perceiving his earnestness, take him seriously concerning his stated relationship to Abraham. Thus, they pick up stones to murder him. The Tories, two millennia removed from Christ and trained in a strange theology, do not take Christ seriously. They do not believe his plainly stated relationship to Abraham. Had the Tories rather than the Pharisees been standing before Christ, instead of picking up stones, they would have shrugged their shoulders and smiled. Christ would have said to them, "Didn't you hear me? How do you not understand my testimony?" And yet he spoke so plainly that his words could not have been misunderstood except by those two millennia removed from him, trained in a strange theology. The reaction of the Pharisees was appropriate, measured against what they believed to have been the blasphemy of the Lord. That the Lord did not correct them indicates that they understood precisely what he meant and, indeed, what he said. The Pharisees may have been self-righteous, but they weren't stupid. The Tories are not self-righteous, but in this matter they are certainly what I just said the Pharisees were not.
Matthew 22, verse 41. Now the Pharisees being gathered, Jesus inquires of them, saying, what are you supposing concerning the Christ? Whose son is he? They are saying to him, David's. He is saying to them, how then is David in spirit calling him Lord? David calling him Lord, saying, Said the Lord to my Lord. This is David writing in Psalm 110, verse 1. I'm going to go there in the Concordant version of the Old Testament in a moment because it's very revealing when we see this verse properly translated. Said the Lord to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I should be placing thine enemies underneath thy feet. After quoting that scripture, Jesus then looks at the Pharisees and said, if then David is calling him Lord, how is he his son? That is, how is the Lord his son? How is the one he's calling Lord his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, neither dares anyone from that day inquire of him any longer. They were equally shocked at what he was telling them here. Now, before I make sure you understand what David is saying and why Jesus is repeating this psalm to them, let's go to the Concordant version of the Old Testament, Psalm 110, verse 1. The averring of Yahweh to my Lord. Sit at my right until I should set your enemies as a stool for your feet. There it is. But the original here is the averring, that is the saying, to aver is to state strongly, the averring of Yahweh to my Lord. Sit at my right until I should set your enemies as a stool for your feet. Now, the Tories have developed this terrible theory about Christ not pre-existing in order to try to pull out a rug from underneath the Trinitarians, something they don't need to do because the pre-existence in no way proves the Trinity anyway, because Jesus Christ still came out of God, as he said many times, especially in John. We've looked at a lot of those passages. The averring of Yahweh to my Lord. This verse, in one sentence, it not only wipes out the Trinity, it not only makes the Trinity impossible, but it also proves the pre-existence of Christ. That he at least pre-existed in 1044 BC when David wrote this psalm. Why do I say that? Because David is calling him his Lord. And he's not speaking of God the Father, because he's distinguishing here the averring of Yahweh to my Lord. Who was David's Lord? A figure of speech? A metaphor? A theory? A concept? An idea? A dream in his head? No, his Lord was none other than Jesus Christ. The one who emptied himself, came to be in fashion as a human, the one who had a glory with the Father before the world was, the one who emptied himself again, taking the form of a human, the one who descended from heaven, the one who said that he would ascend back to where he was formerly, that one was David's Lord. In 1044, David had a Lord. So back to Matthew then, Jesus is saying the Christ is not merely the son of David, but he's David's Lord. And they may have well been thinking in their head, David's Lord? How can he be greater than David? Just as earlier, as we read from John, they could not wrap their heads around that he was greater than Abraham and even less than that, or even more unable would they be to grasp that he existed before Abraham. He's not saying it as directly here as he did in John, because he's leaving it to their own thinking. In John, he proclaims it directly. Before Abraham was, I am. And because he was so direct, they picked up stones to kill him. Here, he's leaving it to them. He is saying to them, how then is David in spirit calling him Lord? You think Christ is only a descendant of David? That he came out of David? No. In fact, he was David's Lord. Think about that one, Pharisees. If then David is calling him Lord, how is he his son? How is he only his son? And instead of stating positively that he was David's Lord, and he could have gone on and said, before David was, I am. But he didn't. It's not here. I'm not saying I'm quoting scripture there. But he is saying that David had a Lord. So not only is he the descendant of David via his mother, but via the Spirit of God, and this is David writing in spirit. How then is David in spirit calling him Lord? My God, how much evidence do we need? And why do we even have to bring it up? But I'm glad we do, because I'm acquainting many people because of this sect with the glories, the dignities of Christ, which are being demeaned and demolished by those in our very circle. It's a sect. But as Paul says, there must be these sects that those who are qualified may be becoming a parent. And I might add, so that we who believe the truth of the glories of Christ can dig even further into those glories, finding new light where we had no light before, and can amplify the glory of Christ, amplify the preexistence of Christ even more than we have in the past. And for this, I am thankful.